The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Paul Goldschmidt and a number of other first basemen are off to slow starts. I'll be talking with Ryan Hallam. You can find him on Fighting Chance on Twitter and part of the Spotlight Network. We'll talk about him coming up next on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Ryan Hallam. Ryan, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. I appreciate you having me on. It's a beautiful day here in New York and getting ready for a shortened slate of fantasy baseball, but still a good day for baseball.
Indeed. It hasn't been great so far for Paul Goldschmidt. Only two homers so far. This is kind of following after a bit of a drop-off season last year. Maybe to be expected a little bit, but he's one of a number of first basemen. We do this little thing on Thursdays where we call it panic meter. It's just kind of a little branding thing. It's probably hyperbolic a little bit there, but you know, he's only hitting .230, two homers, 11 RBI, 14 runs, one stolen base. What's your level of concern for Paul Goldschmidt?
I mean, it's getting there. Like you said, it was off last year, MVP the year before. So I was kind of hoping for somewhat of a bounce back, and through 1 month so far, we certainly haven't seen it. Hasn't exactly looked like the guy. And the batting average, I think, of course, is probably the biggest red flag. I mean, back in the day, he was a perpetual 300 hitter, and it slowly started to fall off the last few years. So we are still just a month into the season, so it's a little too hard, too quick to hit the huge panic button yet. But there's concern has certainly crept in.
Indeed. For 2 weeks, everybody's okay, whatever. It's a little bit of a slump. The panic really does set in after about a month. Although we've seen so many times with a lot of established hitters that you need more than a month, for example, to really tell what's happening.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It feels like the season's been going on for a long time, right? But it really hasn't. I mean, 4 weeks into a 6 month season. So there's still, I mean, we see guys who have great second halves, never mind, first month. So that's why I said it's a little too, draft him as high as you used to, but you put some draft capital into him. And it's not someone that I think you're looking to get rid of yet. And there is still plenty of time. Cardinals played Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Giants. They played some teams with some good pitchers off the beginning of the season. So, hopefully the schedule gets a little bit easier for him and they see some pitchers they can beat up in the National League.
That's true. He in the doubleheader against the Tigers, he did go 5-for-9. And for me, my issue with Goldie, I think, is more power based than anything. That's the thing I'm worried about. Does that come back? I know that, and just because you need that from the position, first of all. And I think that's something that drops off. You look at almost all of the StatCast metrics are a little bit down too. Average exit velocity is okay, but the hard hit rate is down, the barrel rate is down, the fly ball percentage is down. These are the things that bother me more.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can look at just the basic box score and is he a 35 home run hitter anymore? Probably not, but yeah. Again, you didn't take him among the guys who were 35 home run hitters, so he was a nice little step down. So I think even if he ends up with between 25 and 30, steals 10 bases, but he's got to get that batting average over 230. And, you know, like we have a comment here, his strikeout rate is climbing too.
Yeah, absolutely. There, it's 29.7% this year. It's 23.5 last year, 21.7 in 2022. You can see the progression. Hey, age 36. That's young for me and you, but not so much for him. So maybe that's something to deal with there. He's not the only first baseman struggling though. There's a lot of them. Matt Olson. We spent a lot of time earlier this week talking Corbin Carroll. I haven't spent a whole lot of time talking about Matt Olson, maybe because I don't have him this year, not because I was fading him necessarily. More often than not, where I was in the draft, I wasn't in a position to take him. If I was drafting early in the first round, obviously I wasn't going to get him because he always went early second round.
Right.
So far, Matt Olson hitting .206, three homers, 16 RBI, 14 runs scored. Batting average has always been something that's been in flux with Matt Olson, though.
It has, but not this low. But... You know, he's always been a pretty prolific power hitter, but the 54 last year was even off the mark for him. I think 43 was his previous career high. So to bump up that far, I think he was naturally due for some regression. You know, not too many guys have back-to-back 50 homer seasons, especially when he hadn't had one before. But he is a guy that I've always been very high on. I don't have a lot of him either. I do have him in a couple leagues. Can he still hit 35 to 40? I think absolutely. Is he going to hit 54? Probably not. You know, again, he's another one. The strikeouts are up. You know, we're going to want to see that batting average get there. But I still think at the end of the year, his, you know, the back of his baseball card will look pretty similar to outside of last year, most of the rest of his career.
And the StatCast metrics back that up, too. You know, you look at the barrel percentage. It's a little down from last year, but it's in line with 2022. It's better than 2021. 13.7% barrel percentage. Exit velocity, average exit velocity is actually higher than last year, 94.6 miles per hour. Strikeout percentage isn't even like markedly different. It's a little up, 26%, but it's not in the 30s or anything like that. So I think this is he's a good buy low target right now. I wouldn't say buy lowest. He's no Randy Rosarena when it comes to deer level. But I think it's someone that you can probably target a little bit, maybe pay third round price for a second round player.
Yeah, totally agree.
All right. Next slumper that we'll talk about here. This one's a tough one for a lot of people. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., another guy I saw in the comments already. There's some regret about not having him so far. You look at Vladdy so far, he's hitting .231, three homers, 11 RBI, 11 runs. Off of a year last year where the power was down as well, and I know a lot of people are concerned about that, did hit that, he hit his third homer like a week ago, two weeks ago, actually. It's been a while since he's hit his most recent homer. What's your level of concern with Vladdy?
It's probably lower than Goldschmidt. I guess it's a little higher than I initially thought because now I mean, we've just, you know, seen his power just dwindle each of the last 3 years, from 48 and 21 to 32 last year, to 2 years ago to 26 last year. It's just, and then we've seen his batting average drop almost 50 points in those last 3 years. So, and you don't like the way it's headed. I think he's not, we're not looking at Goldschmidt at 36 years old. I mean, this guy's 25 years old here. So, the 48, I think I'm just going to say something similar to Olson. The 48 from 2 years ago, I don't think that's coming back. Mid-30s?
Yeah.
Low-30s? I think that's very attainable. I think he can finish with a better year than last year. And I actually did look. I was like, oh, he's a slow starter. But he didn't get off to that slow of a start last year. Like, this is a little bit of aberration for him. But I think I'm personally chalking this one up to – it's a long season. There's a long way to go. There's some decent hitters. Well, there's some good, really good hitters in that Toronto lineup. The AL East has a lot of hitter-friendly parks in it. I think just might be some kicking off the rust and taking a little longer to get ready. I think Vlad, why not the 2021 Vlad? I think he will do better than last year with the 26. Right.
He's complicated because, again, you want to look at StatCast metrics, the hard hit data is there. I mean, it's, launch angle might be a bigger concern, but I also think the ballpark too it's weird. You know, during 2020 and 2021, the Jays played in a couple of different alternate ballparks, right? They played in Dunedin, they played in Buffalo. They and then Sky Dome in its previous incarnation, if you will. I still call it Sky Dome, by the way. It's one of those. I lapse into that. But Rogers Center, excuse me. But you know, they had the highly publicized renovations going into last season, and power dropped off across the board. And I'm almost wondering a little bit there if it's a sightline thing a little bit.
I mean, that's definitely a viable explanation. You know, you do play half your games in that stadium, and if you're not, you know, it's not quite the same, and you're not quite as comfortable as you once were. You know, that's something that could have an impact. I still just think he's too big, too strong, too young to just see his power just, you know, sap away.
I agree. So I didn't really have a lot of him because I thought he was a little over draft valued, but I wouldn't panic if I did have him. I guess that's the way I look at it there a little bit with him. I don't know how helpful that is. And it's hard to give a tangible advice with that, but you know what I'm saying.
I mean, I don't think – here's what I – not selling to sell. If you can, right. If you somehow can get a trade for value, which I don't see how you would at this point, at this very day, yeah, sure. But I think you might be a better guy if you you know, you might be able to get a little on cheap.
Yeah. It's just frustrating when you see other first basemen doing well. You look at Christian Walker, for instance, there. 7 homers, 22 RBI, 24 runs scored, and you got him 2 or 3 rounds cheaper probably. You know, everybody was saying, hey, Spencer Steer, he's not going to repeat. Well, Spencer Steer, 4 homers, 22 RBI, not in for average, but 8 stolen bases too. He gives you that, you know, other first basemen don't do. Jake Cronenworth having a bounce back season, but it's actually been kind of a disappointing position all around. It really hasn't been this great, awesome position. You know, our next guy, Freddie Freeman, he's hitting for average, but not hitting for power. Only 2 homers so far this year.
Yeah, and another guy, I think it's way too early to be too worried about. He is getting up there in years, for sure, but he's certainly hitting in the middle of a spectacular lineup. He's added some stolen bases to his repertoire here later in his career. You know, I think, and then he's someone you spent top dollar on or drafted right away. Exactly. So I think it's very easy to get frustrated with your first-round pick in May with 2 home runs. But
right.
I just can't find a really hard time panicking about Freddie Freeman.
Me too.
Four weeks into the season, yeah.
It was more of a sort of slumper, actually, for me too. And it's just,
I mean, not up to your expectations, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. If you've got, like, my main event team hasn't homered this week. I don't have Freeman on that team, but it's just having players like that. Pete Alonso's on that team, and it's been a while since he's homered, and he hasn't done a whole lot.
He did on Saturday when I was there.
Oh, there you go. Against your Cardinals, unfortunately.
Against my Cardinals. But they still won, so it was okay.
Yeah. Not too many people do sell low on these top level guys, but the next level of guys we're going to talk about, they are. But before we do that, quick note from our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. You can just pick more or less on 2-player stats and watch the winnings roll in. If you want to get in on Miles Turner tonight against the Bucks, you can do so. You can use the RotoWire Picks tool to help you identify a lot of other winning plays. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use code ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Big thanks to Prize Picks for sponsoring us. I'm with Ryan Hallam. You can find him on Twitter at Fighting Chance. And Ryan, you used to be with Fantasy Alarm, but now you are with Spotlight. Yes. Spotlight and Fantasy Alarm were together at one point. They have now separated. But you're doing a lot of work, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff for them right now.
Yeah, I do focus on player projections, really, for 8 different sports: baseball, basketball, hockey, baseball, obviously, college football, college basketball,
nice,
PGA, NASCAR. So yeah, personally, I don't do them all. A lot of them are just people that I kind of know and help me and make sure they get done. But yeah, it's a fun thing that we do, and have a lot of good people working for me.
Yeah, and the projections process can take forever. And it can be daunting at times unless you have a really good system. So I do our baseball projections, and I've had some more help the last couple of years in the starting up of the process, but it's a beast to maintain. Baseball especially, because there's just so many players.
It's every player every day, pretty much. You know, you get a little break on Mondays and Thursdays, but yeah, every team every day. Football, you get, you know, once a week outside of those couple games. You know, basketball, sometimes it's three games, sometimes it's six games. But baseball is almost everybody every day. So yeah, it's a huge grind, and injuries every day. It's a lot to keep up with, for sure.
Indeed. Let's keep up with our slumping first baseman series here. You may not have been willing to sell low or sell on any of those previous players, these elite players, but there's some players in that next tier that maybe you're a little bit more concerned about. Let's start off with one of them, Spencer Torkelson on the Detroit Tigers. You just saw them with your Cardinals playing them. We're still waiting for Torkelson's first homer of the year. He started slowly last year, was a monster in the second half. Is it just like, okay, we got to wait for the weather to improve in Detroit, or is there something else going on here?
You know, he's really a complicated case, because you look the year before, he played 110 games and 8 home runs, and then last year blew up with 31. Like you said, it's another slow start. You know, he was a great power hitter in the minors. You know, the Detroit's lineup has certainly improved over the years. The stadium is not exactly the most hitter friendly, and his batting average, as we talked with all these guys, I mean, he's never really hit for a good batting average. And 170 plus strikeouts last year, I wonder, did he just get hot for those few months last year? And, you know, 1-for-4, and the one was a home run a lot of the times. But to go an entire month without a home run is very concerning. I think I'm kind of more of a player that believes in the guy that I drafted, right, a little more than too. Yeah, so I'm not ready to cut ties with him. He is someone that I had at corner infield in a couple of leagues, and I don't have him as my starting first baseman. So I'm still waiting for last year to show up a little bit. But the panic meter is certainly, it's getting in the darker yellow at this point.
Yeah,
for absolutely. Sure.
One thing I love seeing is, like, I go to Yahoo. I have a couple leagues on Yahoo, and they have like a list of trades that have happened. And a couple of them are interesting. Most of them, you're usually a 2-for-1, 2-for-2. So it's harder to gauge value, but like, there's a couple 1-for-1s out there. Someone traded Torque straight up for Jordan Walker, your Cardinal there. Been sent down already. I know we were going to talk Cardinals in a little bit, but, you know, let's just jump into Jordan Walker right now. I know he's not a first baseman, but, you know, a terrible slump for the start of the season. What's your take on Jordan Walker?
I mean, he's never quite lived up to, you know, the hype coming into last year. I know Gray Albright, I'm sure, is still crying in his whatever beverage Gray Albright drinks. but, you know, even he fell off of him, because I'm in several drafts with him. I'm sure you are too, and was all in a Jordan Walker last year. But
yep.
Personally, as a Cardinals fan, I think you just got to let the kid figure it out at this point. I think they should bring him back up and just put him out there until like the talent's there. I know, like I said, he didn't have a fantastic year last year, or off to a slow start, but and I know they had some kids they wanted to take a look at, but I still think Walker should be up and playing. But I would take the Torkelson side of that if I was doing the trade.
Yeah. Would your answer change if you're in a dynasty or keeper league?
Yeah. Yeah. Then for sure. I think that gives Walker, you know, the potential is still there. Not that Torkelson's old, you know, by any stretch, but I think Walker's ceiling is higher. I think maybe not for power numbers, but pretty much everything else across the board. And I think the power numbers at his ceiling aren't that far off Torkelson's.
I think Walker did himself a disservice last year in spring training when he killed pitching so much in spring training. They forced the Cardinals' hand to call him up. They didn't have a spot for him to play. You know, he came up as a third baseman. Whether he's a good third baseman or not, it's a debatable another issue, but he's not an outfielder.
Yeah.
And they try to do the square peg and a round hole thing, put him in right field and at the major league level, by the way. And I think that would probably carry over to his at bats a little bit. You know, he's so young, facing major league pitching for the first time. I think it'd be easy to get overwhelmed. I think it's, you know, similar to what the Reds did with Nick Senzel, though Senzel was older. But you know, not you have this elite prospect. Don't mess around with his position. Don't be jerking around, moving him different places. And hey, you got to learn on the fly defensively as well as offensively.
Yeah, and that's his outfield defense leaves a lot to be desired.
Absolutely. It's really awful. And yeah, I think that he's salvageable for sure.
But I agree.
They need to get into the business of prioritizing that. I don't know if they've necessarily done that. So we'll see about that. All right, next first baseman on the list, Yandy Diaz. You drafted Yandy Diaz for the batting average. You're hoping maybe some more power would jump into it here, but you're not getting the benefit of the bargain right now. He's hitting 211, one homer, 11 RBI, 11 runs, striking out a lot. The Rays as a whole are a tough watch right now. You just saw a tough series against the Brewers over the weekend. They got swept by the White Sox. What are we doing with Yandy Diaz right now?
I mean, you look at his career, it is all over the map. Like every other year is a complete and utter disaster followed by something salvageable. And not that I believe in this every, going back to the Giants winning the World Series and every other year, but it is funny how it kind of works out. And this is certainly due for an off year for him. And to be this bad 4 or 5 weeks into the season is certainly a huge red flag for me. You know, the Rays won't hesitate to pull the trigger and put someone else in there or start benching them, or because they just love to play a different lineup every single day. So my panic meter here is pretty high. Again, not someone that you put a lot of draft capital into, but coming off a pretty decent year, he could be your corner infielder. And
right,
like you said, he's not even giving the batting averages here. So this is probably the first guy that I might be willing to let go of from your list.
Yeah, I'm stubborn. I'm going to hang on, but he needs to get going. The Rays need to get going. The Rays need to call up Junior Caminero, in my opinion. They need to get – I know he was hurt to start the year and all that, but they need to figure a way to get him into that lineup.
My tout team agrees.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and Gabby and Mundo in the chat also agrees. He goes, can't wait to see him, killing a rod on my bench. And that's just the problem too. If you're in a league that doesn't have IR spots and you get some injuries and you've got a minor leaguer, I've got Paul Skeens in places. I've got Caminero in places. Stashing is tough. In the NFBC format, I say no more than one stash coming out of draft day. And sometimes I prefer zero because as we've seen from this year, injuries happen. They've been prolific this year.
Yeah, and like I said, when we do talk about my tout team later, I'll show you what not to do.
All right. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to hear that. But
that's okay.
We can all learn from the rubble, too. Speaking of rubble, here's Andrew Vaughn. My goodness, we're in like year 37 of him. Okay, this is the year he kind of gets – he's going to play his regular position. He's going to figure things out. It hasn't happened yet. I wanted to get him in a lot of places. I haven't, I think I kept him in one score sheet league, but I'm ready to cut the cord here. Hitting 193. He also doesn't have a homer yet this year. And we can no longer blame Tony La Russa for this. I mean, he's playing first base. He's playing every day. It's time for him to produce, and it's just not happening.
Yeah, I have cut bait with him in one league. I know I have him still in a couple others. He was kind of my bargain cheap guy, I was hoping that would outperform. And if you look, and like you said, it seems like it's been forever, and it seems like he's never quite lived up to the billing, which he clearly hasn't. But at least his power numbers have gotten a little bit better each year, and now to have none after a month and hitting a horrible back. The whole team is awful. I do think it's the worst team in baseball. And there's just nothing really around him to help out. Anyone with a pulse is injured one time or another. I just don't think there's a lot of positivity going on there. I don't think it's a good environment for him to improve. If you put him on a good team with some good hitters around him, maybe we could see him, develop into something more. But right now, I think his ceiling is probably teens for home runs, 70 RBIs, and maybe 220, 230. And that's the best I think you can get out of him.
Yeah, he's in cut level for me. And that's like if Joey Loperfido is available and qualifies at first for you, I would make that change.
I would go
Loperfido over Vaughn. I go Loperfido over Brandon Drury. I saw someone, PJ, mentioning in the comments there. I hope they bring up Brandon Drury. Another slumper at first base eligible. Angels, they're just circling down the drain right now. Lost Trout happened. By the way, Mike Trout happened right immediately after I posted the podcast and I was about to pull off a trade in XFL with Ian Khan. I was going to be able to sell off Trout. I'm a rebuilding team, and instead I'm stuck with him, which it's a bummer, but
that is a bummer.
Yeah. Poor me. But anyways, yeah. Brandon Drury, he's in that range. That's you drafted him so late. You can cut him pretty comfortably right now.
Yeah.
And there's one more. There is another, and that is Jose Abreu, who I have cut in the main event and a couple other places. Just got agreed to get sent down to their basically to their spring training complex. I think it's officially, I think, rookie ball. But this, you know, you won't see him playing too many minor league games. But, you know, people are like, how could he get option? Jose Abreu had never played in the minors. He went straight from like Cuba to the majors with the White Sox. So he had options remaining, believe it or not. But as a tenured player, he had to approve it. But this is 2 years in a row. He's just gotten off to a miserable start. And I'm just not willing to ride it out with this one.
No, I think I agree. You know, you have to at least like his attitude that he was like, you know, pretty much almost asked for this. You know, I'm not doing my job. They brought him here to do my job. So you do like that part of it. But yeah, he's been around a long time. We've watched his numbers dwindle over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. And like you said, aggressively so the past couple. And Houston doesn't, they have a never ending stream of young people to come in and play. So, you know, like you said, if someone comes up and hits, I don't think he's getting a spot back anytime soon.
Right.
They have no, you know, no shortness of options. So, you know, an aging first baseman who's not doing something when they are also floundering in the standings, and I'm sure are looking for a spark that he's not giving them and probably won't give them. I don't know that he's coming back to the majors anytime soon.
Yeah, absolute disaster. The disaster start for the Astros. The pitching has been terrible too, but Abreu is, you know, RotoWire has something called the earned auction value tool. It takes this year's stats and gives you, spits out the values of all the first basemen that are listed there. He is the nut low. The absolute worst. Worth negative $19 so far this year. 99, no homers, 3 RBI, 6 runs scored. And, you know, he's had 71 at-bats to do it. Like, Ryan Noda is the next lowest, and he just got sent down. Matt Mervis, who has only had 23 at-bats, is the next low after that. I mean, Abreu is worse than those guys. I mean, that's how bad he's been this year.
Yeah, that really pretty much puts it in perspective for you right there. Your auction value is negative. That's pretty bad.
Yep, indeed. We got one other sponsor note, and that is from our friends at Vivid Seats. I've used them before. I think they're fantastic. Finally, baseball is back. This MLB season, knock it out of the park with Vivid Seats and score great tickets to the biggest games of the year. Every fastball, every home run, every eye-popping play of your favorite team, live and in person. Plus, with Vivid Seats rewards, you earn rewards with every single purchase. Just buy 10 tickets, then cash in your credit towards your free 11th ticket. Talk about an easy win. And here's a pro reward tip. When you buy tickets for your whole group, you know, you buy them using the app and then have everybody pay you back. And that way you get the points for it there, get quicker to that free 11th ticket. From behind the dugout to the upper deck, Vivid Seats has great tickets for all the 2024 games that matter to you. Just visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. When I went on a college tour with my older daughter, Allison, we went down to San Diego, saw a couple schools down there, got tickets for the first home game for Juan Soto through Vivid Seats. And we were able to get them, even though it was a pretty hot ticket, we were still able to get seats at a reasonable price. So highly recommend them. They're good. They're good people there. Talking with Ryan Hellum, we've talked about slumping first baseman. We're going to go on to your Cardinals. And this is another one. You got that on there. You went to go see him over the weekend in New York. We talked Goldie already, but they're 14-17 right now. They've been outscored by 30 runs. I expected better from your Cardinals.
Did you?
I did. I love the Sonny Gray acquisition. I thought some of those slumping hitters would bounce back. We talked about how it hasn't happened with Goldie or Walker. I still don't think this is that bad of a roster. But it's got to be frustrating to see just the lack of offense right now.
The offense is the concerning part because that's what I thought was going to be okay. I thought, you know, you have Lance Lynn and you know, Kyle Gibson and God, you know, I knew the rotation was going to be a problem, and the rotation hasn't been a huge problem. You know, missed Sonny Gray for the first few weeks, and he's been as advertised since he's come back. He certainly was on Saturday when I was there. So, the more concerning part is the offense. You know, I know they're missing Tommy Edmond whenever he comes back, but he's not exactly, you know, Yogi Berra coming back or Mickey Mantle. He's not going to really help us all that much. They had a tough run at the beginning in with the schedule. I'll say started with 4 with the Dodgers, you know, right to San Diego, Arizona, you know, so they played a lot of the good teams in the National League already. So, and you know, took 2 out of 3 from the Mets. Not that they're a great team, but it's been a little bit better lately. Well, I guess I shouldn't say it. I just lost 2 out of 3 to the Tigers, but you know.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I really expect around 500, to be completely honest. I didn't. They were a disaster last year. Everything went wrong. I do think eventually the offense will come around, but then I wonder that the pitching won't stay doing what they're doing. So I really don't know that they're going to make the playoffs, but you know, if they could hang around 500, maybe they can get a shot at the third wild card.
And they've only played 3 games in division so far. And that unfortunately was a 3-game sweep at the hands of the Brewers. But
killed two of them.
Yeah. And that's the problem, is directly at the hands of one of the two teams that, well, I think it's a 4-team race. I think the Pirates are the one team I don't expect much out of, but I don't even think the Pirates are that bad, but I expected this to be a pretty tight division. Brewers and Cubs right now are kind of staked out a little bit of a lead, but I think they could still come to the pack. And the fact that you have all these head to head games still suggests, you know, that there's at least an opportunity there.
Yeah, there's definitely an opportunity. I mean, yeah, like we talked about, Goldschmidt's not hitting. Arenado has barely hit at all. Edmund's been out. Contreras has 5 home runs, but his batting average is terrible. Like, I still think there's time for things to come around. I don't think they're out of it. I just didn't come into the season with huge aspirations for a big run.
Right. The outfield situation has been a mess. Lars Nootbaar was hurt to start the year. We talked about Jordan Walker already. Edmund hasn't played an inning yet. Dylan Carlson got hurt right at the end of spring training, and that was a bit of a bummer. Brendan Donovan is there. Mike Ciani's getting way more at-bats than...
Brendan Donovan is there.
Is there, yes. I was trying to be nice, but Alec Burleson, he's fine. But, you know, it's just, who's going to be... What's the ideal outfield for the Cardinals?
I think offensively or defensively? Because offensively, yeah. I think it's Nootbaar, Walker, and Edmund, but that is an atrocious defensive outfield outside of Nootbaar. You know, love to see Victor Scott out there, but he's got to be able to get on base. Ciani came in and had some hits right off the bat and then cooled off. I don't know. I really don't know what the, you know, someone has to step up and prove that they can hit the ball, or, you know, in some guys' cases, field the ball, or sometimes both, right. Or get help. Yeah, they've got a glut of outfielders out there, but it's like you said, it's just been a mishmash mess of who knows what so far, and that's another reason they're 3 games under 500.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm curious to see how Walker does in the minors, see if he turns it around. But that would be ideal. Victor Scott was overmatched. That was another thing. He really couldn't handle major league pitching. I thought that he'd be better, but he did make a 2-level jump. And as we're starting to see, there is that those levels matter. And the jump from AAA to the majors is big enough as it is, let alone jumping from AA there as a hitter sometimes.
Yeah, especially, I feel like pitchers kind of have a little bit better time with that 2-level jump. We've seen a lot of guys come out of AA and have some success. But, yeah, it's a lot for hitters to make that leap. Exactly. Usually generally pretty – 19-20 at that point. It's tough to come up. Even Jackson Holliday came up and looked overmatched, and he's, one of the top prospects in baseball.
Yeah, and I don't think Walker plays a whole lot of first anyhow because Goldie's still there and he's not going anywhere. I mean, that's the real problem too is – like the players that are blocking him are going to be blocking him for a while.
Yep.
There's not really a whole lot of change there. Any help along the way? Are there any prospects we should keep an eye out there? Sagesi, I guess, maybe, but there's not a whole lot in the upper levels in this organization.
No. Yeah. Sagesi for sure. Just don't know where are they going to put him? They'll probably throw him in the outfield like everybody else and see if he can catch out there too. Not a ton, immediately out there. I think Tink Hensel some get a shot at some point if there's an injury in the rotation. He's having a good start in AAA. But they revamped. Last year's disaster, I will say at least they sold off everything they possibly could and got whatever they could. They made some good trades, trading away Montgomery and all those guys. I think they did the best they could. So, there is some help coming, but a lot of it, like you said, is not at the upper levels.
Yeah, like Roby, I thought was a good acquisition.
I agree.
But we'll see. He's not
off to a good start
at AA right now, though, unfortunately.
He's got good stuff. So, yeah, you got to see. I think both of them, Hens and Roby, will be up at some point. But I don't know. Because this mishmash, how much more smoke and mirrors can these – I love my team, but some of these starting pitchers are rough that they're throwing out there.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. Sonny Gray, I'm buying. I think this is a perfect fit. I thought he landed in the right spot, and he since coming back from the hamstring, he's been fantastic. He's got to get some run support. That would be nice. But other than that, he's been fine.
Yeah, absolutely. When he was their top signing, I was hoping for someone I thought more of, but you look at the year he had last year and you can't argue with that. And now he's coming off to a good start this year. So I'm certainly coming around to it, but that's when it starts to get ugly after him.
Yeah, it does. Well, that's the thing is you said it best, smoke and mirrors. Like Lance Lynn, you look at his ERA, it's like, oh yeah, he's pitching fine. Then you look at the whip, you look at the FIP, the XFIP, and you're like, oh, 1.4 whip. Yeah. Winter's coming here.
Yeah, I mean, he could have a nice couple weeks, but if we're throwing him out there 30 times, there's probably going to be 18 really ugly ones or pretty ugly ones. That might be a little bit of exaggeration, but he's not going to have an ERA under 4, I don't believe, when the season's over.
Yeah, and the thing is, that was the criticism of the Cardinals this offseason is, other than Sonny Gray, they did a lot of half measures. They took the, like, okay, we got Kyle Gibson, we got Lance Lynn, we got these, we got Steven Matz the year before. Okay, they could all be good in a vacuum, but they're all like good threes or fourth starters, and you don't have the top of the line guy.
I think three is being generous.
I think
they're fours and five. Yeah, I think they're fours and fives.
Yeah. Matz is banged up right now. We might see Hentz get the call at some point here soon.
Yeah, what do you got to lose? Give him, throw him out there and see what he's got. If he doesn't, go back to Libertor maybe. I don't know. He gets hit around every time they give him a chance to start too. But another guy I thought was gonna pan out. So I think it's a lot of throwing things against the wall. I think it's gonna be starting pitching for the Cardinals this year. Let's let everyone hold this house of cards up as long as we can. But I certainly came into the season expecting the pitching to be a problem.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Most of the people I talk to in Cardinals Nation, I guess, do they call that that? What is your fan? The Cardinals fan base, they're not fans of Ollie Marmol. They're not fans of Mozeliak. What say you on that end?
Um, I've fallen off of Mozeliak the last couple of years. He's made some really good moves. Obviously, the Arenado trade, when it started, was one of the fleecings of all time for what they gave up for him. The Gray signing is good. They've made, but they're very selective in what they're never going to be the Dodgers ever. They're never going to be, you know, they never get the top free agents. He's made some very shrewd moves that have turned out to be very good over the past few years. But I feel like the past two, they've really kind of bargain barreled things, especially the starting pitchers. And I don't think that they've made the play for a big player in a while. So I'm not saying get rid of him. I think he does some fine things. But yeah, I think most people are a little, especially online, are really just keyboard warriors.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that. I mean, we all do. I mean, yeah, and by design. I mean, that's the pool we're swimming in, if you will. So for the most part, I would like to see. I'm not a big fan of the way Marmol handled things last year between the Wilson Contreras thing and the Tyler O'Neill thing. And you see O'Neill, you know, he was like, I'm kind of kicking myself that I don't have more Tyler O'Neill because he's a classic change of scenery guy. But you're saying no. You're fine.
And he gets hurt. I hate to say he's always hurt, but he's always hurt. Like, I knew this year when he got off to that hot start and had the 5, 6, 7 home runs, I'm like, everyone in all the Cardinals fans are going crazy. I'm like, just wait. It's coming. That's what he's done his whole career. He's always gotten off to good starts. He's had some, but he can't play more than 110 games.
So this isn't a ex-Cardinal outfielder curse issue then?
It was when he was a Cardinals outfielder too. I did not go after him at all. You could be right. Change of scenery could be good, but man, some guys, unfortunately, their bodies just break down pretty regularly, and he's one of them.
Yeah. I even think like Richie Palacios could help this team right now. Another former Cardinal outfielder, you know, with the Rays, but we'll see. But yeah, it's a weird coincidence. Like Guardians hitters, Cardinals outfielders, they seem to do well elsewhere when they go elsewhere there, but for whatever it's worth. Let's check in on Towel Wars, but first, quick note from our friends on the Blue Wire Network. All right, thank you for that. Thanks to Blue Wire for hosting us as always. You're in head-to-head Towel Wars, and unfortunately, you said this has not been a good start to your season so far. What's gone wrong?
Well, you know, when you said, you know, to not take the injury risk and all that, well, I did all of it as much as I possibly could. So like Kodai Senga came up early in the auction, and it was like $4. I'm like, I can't say no to that. You know, Jordan Montgomery came up, it was like $9. So like, you know, that's fantastic. You know, I took Edward Cabrera late in the reserve rounds. Goldschmidt and Arenado aren't hitting. Acuna and Julio Rodriguez have one home run each. I took Edmund at the end. Is, you know, at the time, you know, 2 weeks into March, it wasn't sure that he wasn't going to start the season. Now we have no idea when he's. So I've all of my injury. Kyle Bradish, I took. So I took all the injury risk at once, and so far none of it's really come in. Now I'm starting to get healthy. You know, unfortunately, I haven't won anything yet. But you know, Bradish is back today. These guys are slowly coming back in head-to-head format. I'm not out of it. You know, if I can get these guys back and they can be healthy and I can get the team. Brian Wu went right down right before the season started. I took some injury risk and then more piled on top. And then I was kind of sunk to start. And we always say in the draft room, as you know, as you're always there, oh, well, the replacement value in a 12-team mixed league, you can get it. But when you're with 11 other awesome players, you miss a few bids. And then the pool gets a lot more shallow, a lot quicker than you'd think. And so now I'm scrambling a little bit, but
yeah. And when you go stars and scrubs, you need your stars to actually be stars. And, you know, I've got Acuna in the main, I've got him in a few other places, and yeah, it's great. He's got the 14 stolen bases, but yeah, we also paid for the power, and that's, we got to, I mean, and the thing is we're taking a calculated risk about the knee. And I do think things are going to heat up for him. I'm not super concerned about him or Julio, for that matter, but this is 2 years in a row that Julio's had terrible starts to the season. Just got to get that patented hot streak from him. Anytime now would be great.
I agree. And in the head-to-head format, like I said, I'm not out of it. I just, you know, if I can get all these guys, the injured guys healthy, and these guys that are struggling to hit a little bit, I still think that I have a shot to make it here. Yeah, my first two guys I paid $100 for have two home runs. I mean, that can't last forever. So I still have some hope. But I did take way too much injury risk in the beginning, and then more, like you said, it's been really rough first month for injuries. So the risk I took coming in and the injuries that have happened since have really hurt.
Yeah. And you know, I agree with you on that. And I just think sometimes like we're like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to get these guys back. But the problem is other injuries are still bound to happen. Slumps are bound to happen, you know, and then you have to make decisions on, and you have fewer roster spots to play with. And meanwhile, you know, other people have, you know, they're going to have injuries too, but at least they're starting with fewer of them to begin with there. And that's always why it's one of those things where I become, you know, I still do it on from time to time where I'll stash a prospect that hasn't got the call. We knew Paul Skeens wasn't going to begin the year in the major, same with Caminero. And I'll take them still, but it's frustrating. You know, it's hard to hold on to that spot for 6 weeks, for 8 weeks when you know other things are going to go wrong.
Yeah, definitely. But then I'm at the point where now I don't want to let them go either.
You know, I've made it this long. Yeah.
Yeah. So now it could be any time. Look at how he's ripping it up. Look how the Rays can't score. It should be any day now. So we should be good. And, you know, here I still wait. So we're going to go down with the ship one way or the other. So hopefully everything starts turning up aces for me real soon.
Indeed. So you wear a lot of hats, metaphorically. Probably literally too. I see the hat on right now, but with the Cardinals hat. But one of the things that you do is Fantasy Survivor. Tell me more about that.
So I've been a fan of the show from the beginning. About halfway through the first season, I started watching it. I really haven't missed much of it since. And I'm not going to act like I made this up because I did see other people do it besides me. But we made a fantasy game for the show Survivor. So there's different things that you get points for, you know, winning immunity challenges, winning rewards, finding idols. You know, you lose extra points if you get voted out with an idol in your pocket, like what happened last night. So I try to make mine a little bit more robust than most of the ones I've seen out there. I try to come up with some fun stuff. I had a thing in for if you cried while they were filming your interview, and then it just got to the point where everybody cries all the time now, so it's not as fun as it used to be. But I do groups of six people. You snake draft the survivors like we do fantasy baseball. Everyone, you know, once someone's picked, you can't pick them again. And then I track based on my scoring system all year. I started, it was like 35-40 people. I think I have 182 this year doing this season. And whoever scores the highest out of all the groups, I send one of those buffs to as the grand champion. So I've been doing that for, I think this is the ninth season I've done this for. And it's always a lot of fun. They always get some new people, and the returners get a little more into it every year. I have one group of guys that says they're going to live stream their draft one of these times, and I look forward to that. But it's a lot of fun. People get really into it. It's gotten to be, it's 31 groups. It's gotten to be a decent amount of work, but
it's fun when cottage industry on the side now for you there.
Yeah. Well, everyone gets really into it. So that always it drives me. I do it for Amazing Race. Also, I've done it for Big Brother in the past. Last year it was kind of going almost the same time as Survivor, and I didn't have enough time for that to do both and football season. I didn't do it. So, I do another one that I'm just starting. I do one for movies, for summer movies, called Fantasy Box Office, and you draft movies that come out between Memorial Day and Labor Day, and you get their opening weekend is your score. So whoever's movies score the most over their opening weekends, they win to that. So just fun stuff to do on the side. There's enough, you know, horrible stuff on the internet to try to do stuff that's a little bit of fun.
So if someone wants to get involved with that, how do they go about doing that?
They can just find me on Twitter at Fighting Chance. I tweet about, you know, all this stuff all the time. I think I did a call for action for the box office last night. They do a Survivor update every week. So you just throw a tweet at me. Hey, I'd like to join Fantasy Survivor, Fantasy Box Office, Fantasy Amazing Race, whatever it is. And I always love to have new people join.
Yeah. I'm intrigued, but I know I'd suck because I don't have the bandwidth. I'm already pushing up against that as it is. That's the thing. I appreciate you're doing this. You do fantasy football, you do every sport. How do you find the time? How do you find the bandwidth to get it all done?
I don't know. I don't sleep a lot, I guess. But the job stuff is not so bad. In the wintertime, it's with football. Football's a lot. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. It's just it's just all the eyes on it all the time. But a lot of the stuff doesn't take as long as you think. I've done it enough that all the fun stuff that I've got decent systems down on how to do it. So it's just a good time to like I said. Good to do something different. And if you wanted to play, you don't do anything except for draft. I do everything after that. Then you just have to see the update. So it's not like it's any big commitment for you. All the commitments on my side.
Very cool. Very cool. So again, people can find Ryan at Fighting Chance on Twitter. And that'll get you started with everything that he does, including all of his projections and stuff during in season for football and for baseball. So, well, Ryan, thank you for spending some time with me today. Really appreciate it. And looking forward to seeing you next March again in Tout. And of course online everywhere. Thanks again for joining me today.
Thanks for having me on. It was a good time.
You bet. That's Ryan Hellam, everybody. Tomorrow, we got two star starters, Clay Link, Todd Zola hosting as always. Big thanks to our sponsors, Vivid Seats and Prize Picks. If you like this the podcast, this stream, please help us out. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, give us feedback. Please check out RotoWire, rotowire.com/pod, gets you a free peek behind the paywall. And again, check out what Ryan does over at Fighting Chance on Twitter. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.